Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today is going to be an open mic day, so I'm giving out the number right off the bat. If you would like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, it will be my delight to do exactly that. Here is the toll-free number to call into, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Habits. Oh my goodness, don't we all have them? Good, bad, or indifferent, it's a part of who we are. Frank Gilbert made a statement about habits that I wanted to share with you because I think his words are wise and they're very true. This is what he said: we're worn into grooves by time, by our habits. In the end, these grooves are going to show whether we've been second rate or champions. Each in his or her own way in dispatching the affairs of every day. By choosing our habits, we determine the grooves into which time will wear us. And these are the grooves that enrich our lives and make for ease of mind, peace, happiness, achievement. Grooves that enrich our lives and make for ease of mind, peace, happiness, achievement. I think anyone that I have ever interviewed that has a story of success, anyone that I've ever known, developed habits that served them. Sometimes these habits of good purpose didn't develop until later in life. But many times these habits, these attitudes that promoted the well-being of the individual and or the success patterning that enabled them to withstand challenges and obstacles, well, they started when they were young. And when I reflected on what Frank said, I thought, you know what, that is true. And it's so easy to say, I'm not going to bother. I'm not going to invest in myself. I am not going to be worried about being too disciplined. And it is just amazing the difference that it will make. And I think the sooner you can learn in life habits of discipline that are going to stand you in good stead, the better it is going to be for you. But lots of times we don't develop those habits until we go through some experiences in life that show us how valuable the better habits are. And it's something we always make a choice about. And I think that that is so significant. There's a young lady I'm going to be interviewing next month. I received her material. She's quite accomplished. And her family's life was filled with some pretty intense tragedy. And yet, because of that tragedy, she developed resilience. She was able to move forward. I think of Ray Bradbury, who was interviewed, and I saw him in a documentary just this past week. He developed the discipline of writing every day. He said he does not let a day go by when he doesn't write. And he was open and willing to develop his skills. And when he reflected on his younger years, Ray Bradbury said, well, what I wrote, I was so arrogant, I thought everybody should just take it because I was so good. He said when he reads it today, he realized how bad he really was. And I think so many times we need to go through that growing cycle. We need to understand that it's part of what helps define us. Steel becomes stronger when it is tempered with exceptionally high temperatures. Why is it that we admire people who have gone through what I call the fires of life? Because at some point they said, I am going to be bigger than the circumstances that should defeat me but don't. I've got a wonderful story to share with you today about a soldier and how he and loved ones took something that could have been very defeating and rose above it. This is something I wanted to share with you today in the programming, because no matter where you are, no matter what's gone on in your life, no matter what your age is, you as an individual make a difference. And the most important thing is for you to realize you make a difference with where you are and who you are right now. If you have challenges with your health, with money, with relationships, with anything, understand this is part of your journey. It's not good. It's not bad. It's what you do with it. I think of a young woman that I knew quite well who got involved with a very unsavory character. It didn't take her long to figure out that she had made a very bad choice. But she had to make a choice. Circumstances forced her into situations she did not desire, but eventually she had to face the fear that she was living in and step outside of it. And that enabled her to move forward. Now, did she continue to make some mistakes? Oh, yes. But every time she corrected her journey, then she found herself stronger. Was it fun in the process? Oh, heavens no. Nobody likes to have fear grip their stomach so intensely that it twists it into knots where you can barely breathe. No, we don't like that. But one of the things about fear is that it's a two-edged sword. You can either use it to leverage yourself to move forward, or you can allow it to cut you down into cornmeal so that you just don't feel like you have any place to go. But you know, it's a funny thing about cornmeal. All you need to do is add a little bit of egg, a little bit of baking soda, milk, put it together, and you've got something called cornbread. So look at life that way. It's a recipe. You can take something that seemingly is nothing all by itself and make it into something that's going to have substance and purpose, that actually is going to create a flavor of experience in your life that is going to enable you as an individual to walk your own walk, share your story with others, and know that your life is making a difference because it is, in one sense, an example. And in another sense, you're stepping outside of your own box, growing up into the greater you. It's quite a special experience. I'd like for you to know you can enjoy the journey. And that's what the Donna Sebo Show is all about. Empowering you in special ways. In upcoming shows, we're going to have business people, we're going to have students, we're going to have all kinds of individuals that will share their story with you. And as I said to you earlier, this is an open mic day, so give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Well, those of you that listen to the show regularly know how much I enjoy history. Why? Because, oh my goodness, it's replete with phenomenal stories on all different levels from different cultural backgrounds. So I thought today what I would do is ask you to join me in a mental trip back into time that was pretty dark and pretty ugly, the Spanish Inquisition. We're going to travel back to 1650, and there is a date, January the 18th. Why is this date significant? Well, it's significant because there was a Franciscan convent that was visited by an Inquisition tribunal. Now, why were they there? The people that were part of these panels, these tribunals, seemed to have a lust for power, and they loved being able to torture people, and often it was interested in acquisition of property. There was a mother, Maria de Agreda, and she had done something that they called a bilocation to the New World, 30 years older, earlier. Now, this is what they came in. They were really going to verbally crucify this woman. They came armed with an 80-item questionnaire. They drilled her for 10 days about the experience more than five about 500 times. This was a claim. 500 times she apparently appeared before the Indians in North and Central America, encouraged them to find missionaries and seek out baptism. Now, let me make sure I said that correctly for you. They were interrogating her because there had been so many statements about her, Mother Maria, appearing in North and Central America before groups of Indians. Now, when they finished their interrogation after 10 days, those that were on this panel requested a souvenir, and they reverently took their leave. Now, this is her story. She was born in 1602, and she took her religious vows at 16. And 2 years after she had taken her vows, her ecstasies began. Now, that was a term that was used. She was in trance, and she would have visions. She would have experiences. And nuns would watch her. Now, they had a veil. When she would go into these altered states, there was a veil that was over her. And when she was in this altered state, the other nuns would gently bring the veil up, and they said there was a light that surrounded her when she was in this trance state. She levitated, and what they would do, now imagine this, here is this mother, Maria, levitating. Now, at this time, she was 18 years old. They would, while she was in this altered state, they'd move her towards a window so other people could see her. Now, we've all heard stories about yogis levitating and different cultures doing this. This was done by Mother Maria de Agreda. Now, she also traveled outside the body. Now, that doesn't sound surprising. She would be able to talk about how she was flying over an ocean. She described different types of weather, lightness, darkness, and she came back with a conscious memory of these experiences. She saw that the earth was a revolving sphere, but those around her, because of the terrorism of the Inquisition, wanted her to burn everything that she wrote because they were terrified that she was going to be burned as a witch. Now, in 1623, there was a Franciscan priest, Alonso de Benavides, who returned to Spain from New Mexico. And he said, so many of these people that were around me, they were taught by a lady in blue. And she looked exactly like a picture he had of a nun, but who was very young and very beautiful. He said she spoke to each of the tribes in their own language, teaching them during the day and disappearing at night. Now, he heard the story about Mother Maria. He interviewed her, and she told him details of the new world that he had been living in, that he had forgotten. When he asked about the rosaries and chalice that the natives used for Mass, she said God had allowed her to bring those things to the natives from Spain. So she transported items as well. No joke, this is all recorded. You see, these experiences have been going on for millennia. The reality is that until today, where we have a capacity of communicating about this, and many people have had experiences like this, but they were afraid of being made fun of. Astral projection, we talk about it today, no big deal. Manifestation of items. Doesn't happen all that often, but it does happen. The yogis of India have spoken about this for centuries. Well, there's a story, recorded, Mother Maria de Agreda, 1650. Well, there you got it. It's been around for a long, long time. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or initial, and then I love to know where you're calling in from. After that, all you need to do is sit back and relax, and I'll give you information about yourself, what's going on in your life, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that is important to you. This is an open mic day, so give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you some information about people, feeding people. In today's world, we have to feed billions. When we think about our grandparents and our great-grandparents, and again, going back through history, the world was not populated with density as we have it today. In fact, it's predicted that we're going to go from over 7 billion, which we are at this point, to 9 billion people in the year 2050. Now, how are we going to feed all these people? Today, even with the knowledge of agriculture and ranching and farming that we have, we still are not able to feed many people on this planet. There are millions of people starving, and they're not in the United States. We've got some, but there are many people in countries throughout the world because they don't have the resources like water and or the weather has changed, things that have occurred. How are we going to feed all of these people? Well, this is something that's evolving. We're becoming aware that we really have to take care of the environment that we live in. And there is a new term called agroecology. Agroecology. And it is the study, design, and management of sustainable agricultural ecosystems. Now, in times past, there were a lot of, you know, just a lot of people that were very much aware of their own native environment and what they needed to do to keep things healthy. And let's face it, Mother Nature is not always predictable. Here in the United States, there were times in Utah where locusts came in by the billions and just decimated crops. Happened in China. You have insects that would attack ground insects. I remember a friend of mine whose family owned what they called a broom corn farm. And he said every year they would have to dig these huge troughs around their crops, and they had to do it in a certain time frame, and they would fill the troughs with oil. Why did they use oil? That kept these billions of crawling insects that came out at a certain time every year from totally destroying their crops. They'd hit the oil, they'd die. This was something they had to do consistently. The battle is always going to be there because, hey, insects, animals, they don't have 7-Elevens, so, or grocery stores like we do today. They really will go wherever the food is. Well, it presents challenges. It presents problems. But what we're learning is recycling. We need to recycle nutrients and energy on farms, and people are moving towards that more and more and more. We're understanding that we're a part of this integration. We're not exclusive or separate from it. We have to be alert. We have to be aware, because if we don't take care of it, we create a toxic environment that creates problems for us big time. Integrating crops, livestock, diversifying species and genetic resources. How do we manage that? How do we work with nature instead of against nature? And paying attention to the interactions and productivity throughout an agricultural farming system, ranching system, rather than just focusing on an individual species. It's been shown time and time again, when you focus on growing just a specific crop, and that's all you do, you deplete the resources in the soil very, very quickly. So there needs to be a different approach. And all of this is so incredibly important. And you've got to be very, very aware that many times what you use to control insect populations, et cetera, can work against you. not with you, but against you. Why? Pesticides go into water systems, all kinds of things. Now, the UN has put out a report saying that agroecology improves resilience to climate change with techniques that promote biodiversity, one of nature's basic support systems. And we can sustain ourselves. So it means we are in a very innovative period. For all the doom and gloom and things that we are told about, we need to know that we have the capacity, through observation, through intelligent decision-making, to make a difference. It will require a shift. Think about the kahunas. In Hawaii, the kahunas learned from their ancestors that if they overfished their environment, they'd have no food. Did you know that, like the Romans, the kahunas and the Hunan system developed aquaculture? My goodness, there's been such a battle over that. The Hawaiians were using it for a long time, and they weren't a huge population like we have today. So it is thinking about things. Let's learn. Let's utilize what history has to share with us. But understand, this is today, and we have got a tremendous challenge. Norman Borlaug, who won the Congressional Gold Medal, he was in his 90s, and I had the privilege of interviewing him on my show. The story, there's a book about him, if ever you're interested in it. It's called The Man Who Fed the World. He was a scientist. And there is some controversy about the biodiversity that he ended up developing relative to certain grains. However, this man, after an interview that I did with him, said something to me that really resonated. He said, when people are starving, they will go to war. And if you don't believe that, study history. Look at what China has had to endure. Many times, great upheavals in their history occurred because people were starving. It occurred in Russia. It has occurred in different places on this planet. People have to be fed. And he said that that was something that he realized, that being involved in agriculture, if you're able to produce food that takes care of people, they then are able to take care of themselves. And whether you would accept this thought or not, I would say be aware. When we have sustainable agriculture, we have a sustainable economy. It really does make a difference. Donna Siebel here. This is an open mic day. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. For those of you that are listening in the state of Alaska, I am going to be up visiting Alaska, one of my favorite places on this planet. I'll be up there April 29th through May the 6th. I'll be both in Fairbanks as well as Anchorage. And if you would like to meet with me for a private session while I'm up in that area, just give me a call at my office. 253-582-5604. 253-582-5604. Here in the state of Washington, we have gazillions of tulips. Yes, there is an area in the northern part of Washington that is utterly spectacular with tulips this time of year. It takes your breath away, the fields, the acres and acres and acres of brilliant color that you have the opportunity to see. This is something that I have in front of me, is a photo of a tulip field, and they're just gorgeous. These are red tulips, and this is a statement. It says, oh, how this spring of love resembleth the uncertain glory of an April day. Ah, yes, that is absolutely wonderful. William Shakespeare said that. So tulips have been around for a long, long time. But do take time to enjoy the flowers. I really feel that I'm a very fortunate woman because I live in a part of the country where this time of the year, it's as if Mother Nature comes out with her palette of colors and says, oh, here we go. I get to have a good time. And the hyacinths are out, the tulips, the daffodils, and, oh, so many other beautiful flowers. And the trees are in bloom, and some of them are so fragrant. It's wonderful to be out of doors. It's wonderful to be out of doors and enjoy that. So this is spring. Take time, put on your walking shoes, get outside, get out of your office, get out of your environment that keeps you all cloistered in. Fresh air, yes, get outside, enjoy it, enjoy the green, enjoy the beauty of this season of the year, because it just, to me, it's like everything comes alive. Hummingbirds are out, you see all kinds of species. We have pileated woodpeckers that are migrating through, and they're glorious to see with their brilliant colors. But enjoy the time, enjoy the day. This is your moment, this is the now. I told you I had a story about a soldier, and I will be sharing that with you in a moment. But I also wanted to bring out some information, and this is on social media, and I'm just going to touch on a couple of points. And it's how important it is for us to really pay attention to what we put on social media. And be aware of the fact privacy doesn't exist. And that's a hard statement. If you're a private person and you think what you put up on Facebook or any of these other social media applications cannot be misrepresented, you're very wrong. So we now have a position of responsibility for ourselves to be alert to social networking. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're a student or you're 95 years old. You have to be really, really aware. And there's also another side to it that we don't want to usually acknowledge, and that is fictional profiles. And that can come, well, it's nothing new. It's always been that way. I mean, hey, look at the dating columns that used to be years ago when people would put out ads for wanting to find a special person or whatever, and it just isn't appropriate. I mean, you have to be very, very vigilant. Now, there is a woman by the name of Vicki Oliver, and Vicki Oliver has done a wonderful job of presenting information about social media, and you need to just, well, sort of think about some of the thoughts that she shared. She said, it's important if you're using Facebook as a networking tool, then you're going to need to look at it that way. And you have to have a very professional attitude about this. If you're wanting to have just a select group of people, that's one thing. But if you're really wanting to use it as a business tool, you need to be aware. And don't just take anybody into your friend list. And they'll know you're rejecting them if you don't even, you know, they have this little ignore thing, just hit the ignore if you don't want to be involved with them. But Jay McErnie made a comment that privacy has become something to be gotten rid of as soon as possible. And lots of times, especially with young people, although I've seen this happen with adults, we forget that anything you put in an email, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, that's public. That is public. So you need to really pay attention. Don't friend people you don't want to have in your space. And if you're going to do a blog, be thoughtful about how you do your blog. You want to focus on topics, not on people. And especially if you're with a company or you're wanting to build a brand name, you want to be consistent about what you do. And you just need to be aware, pay attention, be thoughtful. Don't send anything out that you wouldn't want anybody to read. You have to be very discerning. LinkedIn has become like a headhunter, an agent, even a matchmaker. Who would have thought? LinkedIn. Now, this is more for professionals, but there is an amazing connection. So you need to be aware that you can really accomplish quite a bit with these social media levels. But if you're wise, take some classes, interact with some other people that use them so that you become comfortable with it. so that you realize the do's and the don'ts. Now, if you're working, oh, well, I'll have to cover that another time. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. This is an open mic day, 888-627-6008. When we come back, a soldier story that will touch your heart. Also, I've got a great recipe I'll be sharing with you, and more than that. Donna Sebo here. Open mic day. Give me a buzz. 888-627-6008.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And also, I'm reminding you, for those of you up in Alaska, I'm coming up to the far north. And give me a call if you want to set up some time with me, 253-582-5604. Okay, I wanted to share with you this marvelous story. People are incredible. I am always amazed at the heart and spirit of people. And I love to emphasize it because we get so much garbage about the crappy stuff in life. I think it's important for us to remember if we want less of that, we have to be more aware of the good stuff and be an example so that that which is not so savory is put in its right place. And that takes mindfulness. Now, this is about a family and about a Marine, Corporal Justin Crabb. This happened a few years ago. He was critically injured in Afghanistan. The family was devastated, of course. No one ever, ever wants any member of their family maimed and to go through horrific suffering. It's beyond imagining. You just don't ever want somebody to go through that. Well, it was a few days before Thanksgiving when Corporal Justin Crabb of the United States Marine Corps was home. And everyone in the community that was aware of the family said, "We are going to make sure that he gets the best homecoming effort." And Justin and his family, with this tremendous gathering of people, were just overwhelmed. They were in tears. There was so much love and caring that was given by their community. The mother, whose name is Maureen, told them, she said, "Without you, we would never have made it through." Let's go back in time a little bit. We're going to go back to April 2011, 2 years ago. Justin's Marine unit was deployed to Afghanistan. 4 months after he was there, Maureen, the family, got a call. No one ever wants to get. They were told there had been a very bad accident. Justin had been seriously injured by an IED. Well, the family flew to the Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, to be with their son when he arrived. When they walked into his room, it was horrific. And having had a family member go through critical care more than once, I know what that feeling is like. Their son was on a ventilator. He had lost both of his legs, several of his fingers. His lungs had collapsed. Fluid built up around his heart. For 19 days, they kept the vigilance. And after 19 days of intensive care by professionals that see this all too frequently, Justin, well, he was going to make it. The family was thrilled, but they knew that there were other things that had to be faced. The amazing thing about Justin is that as soon as he was able to communicate with his family, he said, I know I've lost my legs. I know I've lost some fingers, but somehow or another we're going to get through this. Well, the family did what many families do, and they said, we are with you all the way. Now, Maureen and her husband, his name is Cliff, took family leave, and there were other members of family that said, we'll help as much as we can. Now, there's an organization called the Fisher House. I was unaware of the Fisher House. About adding hotel costs to their bills, which high. Friends didn't want them to worry about money. They family because they were not going to be able to work. They were friends pitched in, did fundraising so that the mortgage would be paid.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Justin, the family was
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna again. Sorry for the interruption, but as I was saying, Justin was making it because of the family support, and he was actually inspired because of all the people that were pulling for him. Months of rehab were ahead of him, and it was a surprise when Maureen said that all of her coworkers had donated their vacation time to her so she could be with her son. Well, that was just amazing. Now, Justin eventually was going to be going home. Of course, with the loss of his legs and the fingers on his hand, the house was going to have to be renovated to accommodate him. There was a contractor that was hired, and this is what happened. Instead of calculating the cost of what the project would be, the contractor, whose name was John, put a plea on his website. This is what he said. One of our country's most cherished assets, a serviceman who has returned home critically injured, is needing our help. He sent that message out. Local carpenters, electricians, and painters started calling in to donate their labor and materials. The whole renovation was covered. Doing a remodel is a huge, huge project. And Maureen, Justin's mother, said, "We don't know where we would be without all of you. Thank you." 14 months after he had gotten wounded, Justin finally was able to go home. The entire town was invited for a big celebration. Now, Justin is very grateful for everything that everyone had done. He said, "People call me a hero, but I was just doing my job. You guys are the real heroes." He's rebuilding his life, and they're paying it forward. All of the good that was given to them, they're making sure that they are able to be models for paying forward for others that are in need. Mom Maureen says, "The goodness and giving in people's hearts changed our lives and proved that with love, anything is possible. It makes a difference." And so many times, the collective approach really can work in amazing, amazing ways. This is one story of tens of thousands, millions of stories of thoughtfulness and kindness and caring. It is so easy for people to say, "Well, let's shoot them up, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other." Well, maybe a different approach, thinking outside of the box, saying, "How can we make something that is really ugly beautiful? What can we do?" There are people in towns and communities, and when you'd walk into them at one time, were hideously ugly, graffiti all over everything, until someone came up with an idea. Say, why don't we employ artists? Why don't we use the young kids to paint the walls that are otherwise covered with gang graffiti and garbage? Why don't we put beauty there in its place? And in those communities where that was imposed, it changed everything because there was a sense of pride. There is that aspect that we can begin. It's never easy. It's always a challenge. But as individuals, if we walk the walk of integrity, if we're supportive of others, if we're thoughtful, if we're a good example for the children, if words of kindness and thoughtfulness and clarity, if discipline, determination, all of this is supported, and there's so much more. We can't do it all, just one person, but collectively we can. We can make a difference. We can survive what is considered now a humongous, humongous mess financially in the United States. All because some people don't want to pay attention to what needs to be done. Well, the average individual can change that. That's right. It is the soul guts of a society, of a free society, the average person out on the street that goes to work every day that can make the difference. You can make that difference. So you walk your walk of demonstration, however it may be, and you may be able to have an impact just like a lot of these unknown people in this wonderful community helped this particular family with their son. Making changes in their lives, and the ripple effect, it's for real. It goes forward, and sometimes in amazing ways. So whenever you get discouraged, if you're watching the news and your heart feels heavy, or maybe you're around some people that are always complaining, why don't you take a deep breath, go out, it's springtime, get some fresh air, and say, what can I do differently that can make a difference? What is it that I can do in my world right now? And it can be so simple as having a smile on your face. Try it. It works. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. When we come back, I got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oops, I also have a recipe to share with you. So stay with me. We'll be back in just a moment. Oh, you can always call me at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, I have a recipe for you. I like Oriental-style meals. I really enjoy something that can be fixed very, very quickly. And I've got a recipe for lemon, ginger beef, and broccoli. This is a stir fry. And you're not going to have a whole bunch of calories. You can serve it with rice, without rice. You can put it with noodles if that's something that you like. Oh, by the way, speaking of noodles, if you're one of the people like I am, carbs just love to stick to my hips. I don't know about you. But this is something that I learned, and I get it at the Oriental section or in the Oriental section at my grocery store. They're called green bean noodles. Green beans are actually made into a noodle. And it's fabulous. You can use it for spaghetti. You can use spaghetti squash, too, if you want. But there are components that you can utilize that will cut down carb intake. Again, for me, that's just what I have to pay attention to. I can't address it for anybody else. But I just thought I'd give that little tip. Now, this is something that is flavorful. Again, as the temps get warmer, we want lighter food. And this is really, really easy, and it's so healthy. And you can adjust seasonings as you would like, and that's something I always encourage people to do. Find out about those seasonings that really resonate with you, that really are just perfect for your taste buds. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need a pound of beef sirloin steak. You want to trim the fat off of it. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of reduced sodium soy sauce. Now, reduced sodium soy sauce is recommended. If you like the real heavy salted soy sauce, then use that. But sometimes the salt of the soy sauce can become overwhelming. And, of course, it's fermented. It's fermented soy. 2 tablespoons of honey, 4 teaspoons of cornstarch. You could use arrowroot if you wanted. 4 teaspoons. 2 teaspoons of finely chopped fresh ginger. Now, it really makes a difference using the fresh. Or you can use 1/2 teaspoon of ground ginger, but the fresh ginger, yum. You're going to need, again, 2 teaspoons of freshly grated lemon zest, 2 teaspoons of that, 1/4 teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes. Now, if you're not a person that likes heat in your dishes, just leave it out. You don't have to put it in. 3 cups of broccoli florets. It's about 1/2 pound. 1 yellow pepper. You want to cut it into thin, bite-sized strips. 1/2 red onion, you could use that, a medium red onion, or a yellow onion, whatever you've got. You could even use scallions if you wanted to. You just need to be aware of the cooking time would be different. A little cooking spray, and then 3 cups of your cooked soba noodles, brown rice, fettuccine, whatever it is that you want to use instead. You don't even have to have that if you don't want, but it's something that soaks up the juices from this dish. Now, your beef, you need to, before slicing it, if you can, take your pound of beef and put it in the freezer for about 20, 30 minutes. And the reason you want to do that is that it enables you to slice that beef very, very thinly. And just after you've got the beef sliced in a small bowl, you mix 3/4 cup of water, your soy sauce, your honey, cornstarch, or your arrowroot, ginger, lemon zest. And if you want to put your pepper flakes in, you mix that in too. So you just whisk that. It takes you all of about 5 seconds. Put it aside. Now, your broccoli and 1/2 cup of water, You put that into a very large wok or a large nonstick skillet. You're going to bring that to a boil over medium-high heat. Just let it simmer covered for about 3 minutes. Uncover, put in your yellow pepper and your red onion, and you cook that uncovered for about 3 to 5 minutes. The vegetables are going to be crispy. They're not going to be limp. They're going to be crispy, and their juices are going to start to be released, and it's just wonderful. And you want to make sure that you cook it long enough on the medium-high heat where the liquid evaporates out. Then you take those vegetables, you remove them from the pan, put them in a big bowl. The beef, you've sliced your beef, put a little bit of cooking spray in there, or if you don't want to use cooking spray, just a little bit of olive oil or sesame seed oil, whatever is your favorite oil. Tiny amount. Put it again over medium-high heat. Put in half of your beef strips, 3 to 5 minutes. You don't want to overcook the beef unless you like things really well done. You want it so that the beef has a little bit of pink in the center. Put it in the bowl with the vegetables. Take the remaining beef, cook that. Then you take everything, after you've got your second batch of beef cooked, and put it back into the pan. Stir the lemon ginger sauce mixture until it's combined well. Put it into your wok, and it'll get thick and bubbly. Takes 1 minute, and there you've got your meal. And then if you want noodles, rice, this is enough for 4 people, or for 2 people if you really like hefty servings. So it's up to you, but this is light, it's flavorful, it's nutritious, and if you don't like yellow peppers, you can use red peppers, green peppers. Use your imagination. There's a lot of different vegetables you can toss in there. And onions, a little bit of scallion you could put in there. It's fabulous. And let me share a tip with you that I learned from some Korean friends of mine, and that is scallions. They are just a wonderful vegetable. And what the Koreans would do is that they would parboil scallions. They'd remove the bottom that has the little furry bit on it, and you'd cut that off, but you wouldn't cut a whole bunch off. You just really cut that off finely. And they would tie the scallions into a knot. They'd parboil it, tie it into a knot so that because the green part of the scallions were limp, and then they would mix it in with a particular seasoning sauce. But they were cooked so that they were so tender. They were wonderful. Great way to fix vegetables. I think the Asian people just have a marvelous knack with vegetables. I just love them. But they have such wonderful recipes. So this one is a good one. But always, if you find any of the Asian dishes that you're served at a restaurant, or if you have friends that are really good cooks, which I've had the privilege of knowing a few, always ask them how they do what they do, because they've learned how to be efficient with their time and their cooking process. Donna Sebo here, 888-627-6008. Things that used to be valuable, well, they're still valuable today, but not in the way they used to be. Salt. All of us love salt. Salt is necessary for health and well-being. I can't tell you how many people have collapsed because they haven't had enough salt. That's right. It's amazing. People often don't bring in enough salt. On the other hand, you have others that supposedly take in too much. But if you drink a lot of water, you have to remember, you have to keep your salt level in the body up. Why? Because it's part of the electrolyte process in the system. Salt, at one time, well, it was worth more than its weight in gold, and Romans used to pay their soldiers with salt. That's how precious it was. Well, today, we just take it for granted. Tulips, the same thing with tulips. It was something that was taken for granted. And air travel. Well, in 1939, the first round trip from New York to France was equivalent to buying a brand new car. Wrap your mind about that one. That is amazing. There's so much we take for granted today. And silk, in China, in 2006 BCE to 220 CE, one bolt of silk was equivalent to a year of taxes. And the Chinese tried to protect their secret because silk was such a special material. It still is to this day. They even had defensive clothing that the soldiers wore with silk that deflected injury. It's an incredible item. Until there were those that managed to get the knowledge and understanding of silk out to the Western world. And more recently, online connectivity everywhere, 1991. At that time, 1 hour of online time equaled several hours of wages at minimum wage. Oh, my goodness. What we have accomplished since 1991. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a magnificent day, and we'll be back here tomorrow with more wonderful information to share with you. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.